Well, hi, everyone in Base Camp in the Secret Garden. This is Gary. And tonight, I don't have Sam helping me host. Sam is actually on vacation. He's down in the Dominican Republic scuba diving with his daughter and his wife. And John has not such a great story as Sam. John just went through surgery yesterday, so he's still recovering from that and didn't feel like it would work well for him to try to host this. But, you know, that's okay because we have Barry Simpson on the phone, and most of you guys, I say that generically for men and women, you know of him. We just did a conversation a while back with Barry as well as Jerry Goddard. And now for the Secret Garden, you don't know about all of the blogs that he puts up, and there are so many, but I did say in the introduction that he is just profuse at thinking and writing, and he does blogs constantly. So in Base Camp, we see that quite a bit, and it's so good. And as I told you in the email, he's written 3 books so far. And I've got some questions about that for him. But listen, I just want to acknowledge something to both the Secret Garden and Base Camp, that Brad and Candace Weber, who are on the 2 different online communities, have mentioned, gosh, it would be really good if we could just have one chat line so we could see each other's chats. I am open to that idea, so here's what I'll ask for those of you listening now or those of you who listen later on the recording. If you have an opinion about that, about kind of merging Base Camp and the Secret Garden together, let me know. I'm kind of in the defaulting in the area that I think there is kind of a comfort in having an online community just for men and an online community just for women. I'm not really worried about anything dangerous happening, but I just think there's a comfort level by doing that way. But you know what? If you feel differently about that, just email me. Let me know. I'd love to hear those things. We really do want to continue to grow and improve these our online community. So with that, Barry, thanks for jumping on, especially in the last minute.
Oh, great. Oh, thanks. I appreciate you asking.
So right off, and you and I were talking about this, and some may have heard it if they hit the play button early. So we've got to be done in our allotted 40 minutes, though often we go over that time. So you have a group that you're doing tonight. Just tell us a little bit about this, because I know you've been doing this for years, and this is a reflection of your heart.
Yeah, we call it Journey Group. To be honest, I'm not really sure where the name came from. And it's just an opportunity. I meet with 2 other men, and so the 3 of us meet for about an hour or maybe a little longer, we'll do 10 different sessions. When I first started it, it was just we were teaching a young adult Sunday school class, and I just wondered, how do I speak into their heart? How do I talk to them? And we started experimenting around with some mentoring kind of a way to do that. And it was marginally successful. And then I went to a calling intensive in Breckenridge with you and really got some insight on some better ways to do things and came home. And so that's what we do now. And I'll meet with these guys for 10 times. And it's been huge. It really bonds us together and bonds the guys together. And we've seen some real insight from guys about calling and what their purpose and how do they fit in. And a lot of them are pretty young. So by young, I mean in the 20s or early 30s. And it's exciting, you know, to kind of get that kind of insight early in their age and to see that there's some value and they have a lot of things to offer.
So how are you doing that with these guys? Like, what are you using? What pace are you running? How long are your journey groups?
Yeah, it's 10 sessions the first round. I will sit down and I'll tell my story, you know, and that's going to take an hour and a half. Most of these guys are stunned when I throw out that I was born in 1956 because, you know, that's when their dad was born, you know, so they just right away, you know, their guys glaze over. I'll just tell my story. And of course you go first so that they understand this is a real story. This is not a little 5-minute testimony. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the gift of going second, you let them go second. And so I'll tell my story and just tell all kinds of things and stories and parts of, you know how it is about getting laid off and about ups and downs. And so they just hear all of that. And then the next week, one of the young men will tell his story And then
and do you also let each other each person after you have an hour and a half to tell their story?
However long they want. Because that's all we do is that one time, and then maybe it's next week before we meet again. And most of them don't take that long, but most of them take longer than they think. You know, because their first thought is if they've lived half as long as I have, they won't have as much to say. Well, you know that's not true. It just telescopes, you know. And so that first round probably takes the longest of any of them. So they end up being about an hour and a half each time, or something like that. You know.
And how many guys normally in a journey group do you have?
There's just two, and then me. So there's only three of us.
Okay. Yep. That helps. Yep.
Yeah. Partly because it's too hard to get together, because you can't do it without somebody being there. And so that takes 3 weeks or three sessions for each person to tell their story. And then we go through a Myers-Briggs personality deal, and we print that off, personalitypages.com, and it just tells a lot of things about you. And I'll tell them if they're married, this is a good thing to show their wife, because they'll think this isn't about them, and their wife will underline everything that's exactly them, you know. And the guys will just go through it. But, of course, what happens is they start off just reading what's on the page, but it ends up being they're telling stories about how this showed up and how that showed up. And so, these stories tend to be different than the first ones. The first ones are about history, and these tend to be more about relationships and people and things, you know, that have gone wrong and right. So it's another glimpse. And so I'll do that first, and then next week somebody else does it, and the third week somebody else does it. And then the next round is we do a lot of things like you do at Noble Heart. I'll have a questionnaire, and it's about best movies and best books and best speakers and rich uncle and what makes you come alive and what takes energy away from you. You know, those kinds of questions, just trying to figure out what's in their heart and what's buried deep in there that they've forgotten about. And, again, I'll do it the first week, and then another guy does it, and then the third guy does it. So now we've done 9 sessions. And the 10th session, we sit down and go somewhere private, and we do a feedback. And we, you know, I'll look one guy in the eyes and say, here's what I've learned about you. And here's what I've gained from your story, and here's what I think you should consider going forward. And the other gentleman talk to him the same way. And then we go around, and each person hears two different men talk to him, you know, about what they've heard and what they see in him. And it's just a powerful time. And like I learned from you, I record that because it's too much to take notes on. And also, once they have the recording, then they can listen to it later when they start talking themselves out of it, that they can listen to that again and about what people saw in them. It's been a really powerful tool. And, you know, from a practical standpoint as a leader, it's not something I have to prepare for each time. Once you have your story down and, you just bring your notes and it's the same. So it takes the least preparation but probably has the most depth of anything I've done as a leader and a teacher, I think.
You know what? And I'm being honest here and just candid. I have really admired, Barry, what I know of your life, which is not everything, but I love the fact that when you get an idea, especially when that idea is coupled with desire, passion, high interest, you just do it. I mean, I don't know of a lot of people doing what you just described. I know a lot of people that say that they've always wanted to do that, but you just keep doing it. And the other thing I really love is that you described, you know, it's only two other guys besides yourself. Now, one, obviously by necessity, has to be with the way you're doing it. Otherwise, it would last forever and you would lose guys.
Yeah.
But yeah. I know so many people that have this idea, this passion, but they won't move unless there's like 50 people involved or, you know some big number on saying, man, if it's what you want to do, do it with one person, do it with, you know, and the same with your writing. I know you, and I'm going to ask you more about this. I know you love to write, so you just do. And it's not like you can devote your full time to these things. You're doing this in the midst of sounds like a pretty busy job and family life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes the journey group process is kind of frustrating because I see all these guys and you can only do two at a time. I have tried to have two different groups going at once. It really takes an emotional toll, you know, to have two groups going at once, but sometimes I can. It's hard to work out the calendar. So sometimes it seems kind of frustrating because I think, you know, I'm just not covering very much ground with very many guys. But, you know, that didn't seem frustrating for long because it seems to be so deep. And I don't know, you know, as a teacher, I've just learned to love this word entrusted, that there's these people that God has entrusted to us. And right now it's these two guys, you know, and for somebody it's maybe a church with 2,000 people, but for me it's this classroom or that, and here's the one he's trusting me with right now. So I've just grown really content with that, I think.
Yeah. So, okay, so, I had mentioned the email. Of course, you know this because you did it, that you have written three books, Running with God, Retreating with God, and Remodeled. That's a lot of writing. I mean, I wrote one book, and I'm just so hesitant to do it again because it was so hard. It took so long, but you just keep cranking them out because, I mean, it sounds like one of the best parts of your day, I don't know when you do it, is when you're writing. Is that right? Is that correct?
It is, yeah. It is. That's really when I work out my thoughts, so it becomes kind of meditative. Sometimes I'll start off mad about something, and by the time I finish, I'm not. You know? So I try to do that. I'm not great at doing it every day, but that's my goal, is to try to write. I've got one of those moleskin journals, and I write in there. And that's what I want to do, and I've just really grown to love it. And see it really as the same. I think it's the same motivation that where I teach classes. I just got to share what I've learned. It just seems to be the motivation.
Now Brad Weber asked this question. He said, Barry, have you been able to spawn these groups with some of those that you've had in your groups? I assume what he means is, you know, have those guys actually been able to get guys together to form your new group? Or perhaps he's asking, you know, are they ever going to do groups? I'm not sure.
Two of the guys have gone off and led groups themselves. Not as many, and it hadn't been. And I would like to see that happen because it's so simple to do. And I think it will. I think part of it is a lot of the guys that I'm working with are pretty young, and they just don't see themselves in that role yet. And so this will be something they'll come back to. I'm hoping that's what happens more than it has so far. But it has happened a couple of times where guys have done it on their own.
Yeah. Okay, so let me go back. So you really enjoy, you know, journaling, writing, detangling your thoughts through your fingers, and it sounds like you pretty much do that every day. Is that like a daily discipline?
I try to. Yeah. I stop on the way to the office usually. I always tell people I wish I had a more hip place that I stop and write, like, you know, a little private coffee shop, but instead I stop at Whataburger. So if you've ever read any of my journals, you hear the word, you know, it's just a hamburger place, you know, but I just need a place to sit, you know, and sit that's not at home because I'll do projects, or once I get to the office, then that takes over. So I just needed that intermediate spot and try to write and just see where it goes. Yeah.
And how long do you typically write for? I'm guessing it's pretty consistent because it is the daily commute and you have a certain time to be at the office and all that.
You know, probably the shortest would be 5-10 minutes, and I'm kind of exhausted, and then I've exhausted the ideas, and then the longest, maybe 30 minutes or 45. Because of the nature of my job, it's pretty flexible when I get in, so I try not to abuse that, but I do have some flexibility about that, about writing.
Okay, that's pretty comforting and inspiring, you know, 10 to 15 minutes versus...
Yeah.
You know, I think of guys that go, I sit down for 3 or 4 hours in the morning and write. And I just hear that and I go, I can't do that.
I don't know who those guys are. I mean, I don't know. but what I've learned is if you're just writing what's on your heart or some just ideas, most of the good ideas don't come to you until you start moving your hand.
Yeah.
I very seldom think, okay, today I'm going to write about this. God gave me this great thought. Maybe once a month. Most of the time I just start writing. I'll take a book that I've read and I'll look at something I highlighted and use it as a prompt and just start talking. And then who knows where it goes, you know, but it's like a pipeline you have to open up for me. So I have to keep that, I'm a real process guy and I have to keep the process open for any creativity comes through.
So what's the primary reason for your writing? For you?
Well, yeah, I guess it makes me happy. Gives joy to my life. But beyond that, you know, you've asked the question other people have, what is it that you, in your life that you can never stop doing? And for me, one of them is tell the story, tell what just happened. And of course, I have to tell the meaning of it too. You know, I mean, I just can't leave it alone. So I'll come back from Colorado from one of those weekends, or I'll come back from a long run or a backpacking trip or a vacation in Italy, and I just have to tell, okay, here's what we saw, and here's what I learned from it. I don't know when I started doing that, but I don't remember not ever doing that. And so writing is just part of that. It's a way to tell that story to more people, and that's really why I publish it.
Okay. So I got another question. Of course I do. What is it that you are most curious about with people?
I don't know exactly how to answer that.
And do I need to ask that separate differently, or is it just a...
Oh, I'm not sure. You know...
So in other words, you know, a lot of times there is a certain... issue, need, problem, cause that grabs our attention with a person. We want to go there with them. We're most engaged. That's what I'm kind of asking with you.
You know, probably I keep, you know, we spend a lot of time at different weekends on boiling down your calling and a kind of a statement. And you ask us to come up with a statement. And I come up with a paragraph and page. And pretty much comes down to, you know, I just want to lead people to a deeper life with God. And deeper means richer, and it means bigger sweep, and it means, you know, living your calling is part of that. And I think having practices, I like the word spiritual practices a little better than spiritual disciplines. It doesn't sound so scary. And I like the idea, you know, people, the Buddhists say they practice Buddhism. I always wonder why we don't say we practice Christianity, because it is a part of the practices that change us and change who we are. So that's usually probably what I'm looking for when somebody comes. You know, what is it in their life that draws them close to God? What is it? What do they do in on a regular basis? What are their habits? And how can I encourage them? You know, here's what works for me. So how can I encourage you to follow? You know, to do some of the same things and have that deeper life.
So is that the primary reason why? It sounds like a lot of your time in teaching is in these journey groups, and it seems to be so much about them discovering who they really are, who God has made them to be.
Right.
I mean, my guess would be that's the thing that most motivates you, because you're doing that the most and the most consistently. Is that
it
true,
is.
Or is that, yeah?
And that message comes out, and, you know, I teach a young adult Sunday school class, and then we have a men's group that meets. It's like a book study group, but we call it Iron Men. But, you know, it occurred to me one day that I really only have about 3 lessons. And, you know, no matter what the topic, that's what comes out. And I think it's probably not peculiar to me. It's probably true for all of us. And,
yeah.
But what you just said is very much true. It's going to come out in everything.
Yeah. So, okay, so let me ask you, Mr. Sage, I'm going to call you a sage now just for a moment for this question.
Right.
So, Mr. Sage, and actually I'm a year older than you, I just discovered.
Yeah.
But let's pretend you're older than me.
All right.
So I want to ask you, Barry, what are some of the most profoundly important things about people that I should understand? I'm asking you as a younger man, that you've learned some things working with people. These are really profoundly important if you're going to understand other people.
Yeah. You know, they want their life to matter. They want to know that it's more than just coaching their soccer team or raising babies. And how does it fit in the big picture? And especially the younger they are, the more important it is. You know, this whole postmodern way of thinking and how it looks and how your life gets lived out is more important sometimes in the intellectual basis. They just, how does it look to live? And people just, you know, especially young men just seem to be hungry for, okay, how is this important? What's important in my life? What am I giving back? You know, where's my right spot? And part of the power or the energy, I think, of the Journey Group is they're just, it seems weird for me to say this, but they're energized by an older guy wanting to spend time with, you know, and say, here's what I've learned, here's what I see in you, you know, because they're not sure, they're just afraid. And I was the same way when I was their age, you know, and what matters, am I wasting my time? But this yearning for meaning in their life and for depth and for real benefit to give back to the world, I think they all have that, even if they're not aware of it.
Now you know, it sounds like the Journey Group is always with men. The Iron Man one sounds like a man.
Yeah.
But I know you teach Sunday school and you teach some other things where it's
right.
Kind of co-ed men and women. Do you find that that what you brought up, this idea of a person wanting to know that their life really matters, that they have a significant part in a larger picture, as you said,
mm-hmm.
and they're yearning to be invested in by someone else who sees the value of their life, do you see that as mostly just for the masculine heart or really equally for men and women?
Oh, no, I think it's on both. I spend more time with men, and that is a big surprise to me. I just stumbled into that, this whole men's ministry kind of a thing, because we've taught couples for a long time.
Mm.
And sometimes for those young moms, it's even more frustrating because, you know, they're just chasing babies and doing laundry, and they think, well, where does this have meaning?
Yeah.
And I'm up here trying to say, look, you need to add these practices to your life, and they're just staring at me, you know. Yeah, when, you know, and, you know, but they want it to matter, you know, and they know that raising kids and raising family and doing whatever they do for work is important, but they want to know that. I think they have the same desire.
Yeah. Okay, so, and everyone listening, throw out a question on the chat line if you want, or like I said, you can hit *2 if you're on the phone and raise your hand, and you can ask the question, but don't hesitate to ask a question, because I still have plenty, so it's not like I'm asking because I'm running out. So, as we're seeing what people want to do, and I know they're listening, so you love hiking, biking, running, and
yeah.
Now those things are being impacted by how your knees are doing and so on. But nonetheless, you love those things. You get life
yeah.
from it. You do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So now tell me, and I believe it is true, how the love for that and the love that you just described that you love, that you want to have in people's lives, describe to me how they're very much the same, you know, at a heart level, at a profound level, and yet they're two different things.
Yeah.
Are there similarities?
Yeah, there are, I'm sure. I was just thinking about this today. If you had known me in junior high school or even college, the idea that you would list off athletic things like that as it defined me, people would just stare at you because that wasn't me. I was in band. I was in all the math classes. I was in the slide rule club. I used to embarrass my kids when I told them that. You know, I was never an athlete, never did anything like that. And came home from college. I was at University of Oklahoma and came home to Hobbs for a summer job, and the girl I wanted to date had been dating a track and field jock. And I thought, oh, man, she's dating a jock. And so I started running that summer just to win the girl back. And that was 1978. And as it turned out, that's Cindy. That's who I married. And she's much faster runner than me. She's very much an athlete, which I never was. And it turns out the guy was a real jerk, so I think I could have won her heart without my feeble attempts at running. But what happened was I got addicted to that time by myself inside my head. I'm such an introvert anyway, but that meditative time of being out, because running really, you don't have to think about what you're doing when you're running, and you end up thinking about a lot of things. And I used to actually carry little verse cards with me just because I needed to do something to entertain myself, and I would work on memorizing. But it became a real meditative time, and God would just speak to me. And that fed into writing because I would come back and want to write down the thoughts that I'd had. I was really inspired by a runner named George Sheehan who would run and then write books, and from his inspiration from running, and that really did, you know, something about movement and moving down the road or moving across a trail just opened up my heart to hear God in a different way. And then later, after we started, when we were about to start Ironman, it kind of all came out of my Wild at Heart experience, and it came out of hearing your tapes. You know, I've told you about those and all those kinds of things. And I thought, okay, if we're going to do this, we have to do some kind of adventure. So Cindy and I went hiking Guadalupe Peak. We tried to recruit a bunch of our friends our own age, and they just stared at us. We're not doing that. And the Guadalupe Peak is the highest point in Texas. It's a 3,000-foot climb. It's 4 miles up and 4 miles down. And it's a significant – it's a trail, but it's significant. We did that together, and I just realized, man, I just love having my feet on dirt. And so almost right away with this men's group, we would schedule a hike every spring and every fall. And guys would sign up. And I've had guys now that have been to the top of Guadalupe Peak with me a dozen times. And I always wonder, why do they want to keep going back, the same trail, same thing? Well, it's because they want to do it together. And they won't be, there's something about shared discomfort among guys especially. You want to do this stuff together, and it bonds you, and suddenly you're talking about things on the trail that who knew? You know what I mean? You're telling parts of their story that they've never told anybody. And because you've suffered together, you've earned this right, I think. So that became an integral part of this men's ministry. That's what really bonded us together, so that when we had discussions about chapters in a book, now we were connected on a different level because we've shared this time together and we've seen each other, you know. And then we started adding some backpacking trips to that, and probably, this is interesting, probably every one of us has had a bad weekend where everybody else has to divide up the stuff in our pack and get us up, because everything in the Guadalupes is just climb straight up for 3,000 feet. Mm-hmm. And so I've been through that myself and watched these other guys carry my stuff up, and it's kind of embarrassing, but when you help each other, it just deepens that relationship. You know, and even as a leader, I learned I need to let them help me, because otherwise I'm just always this boss guy and I'm not one of us. And, you know, I just need to let them help me. And all of that kind of came as a surprise. I mean, it just seemed like something we should do, but then what came out of it in this growing together and growing as a group from being out on dirt like that together just really has knit the group together. And, you know, we're always bringing new people along and doing new hikes and trying to do things. But where we live in Texas, we're not like you are in Colorado, where everywhere you look is a cool place to hike. Now, these are the mountains we have, you know, and so we go there over and over and over. But guys don't seem to care if it's the same trail. They just want to be together on the trail.
Right.
It's been amazing.
Well, and the other thing that strikes me is some of the blogs that you have written about, you know, about how not to get lost on the trail, and what the Forestry Department talked about these Karens and all these kind of things.
Oh.
I just and you grabbed everybody's attention, especially with those blogs. And I thought, see, you know, you're a man who you can look at hiking and see how that works in a person's life. And I love this idea when you just said, I love having my feet in the dirt. I think it's what you do with people when you're with them. You get off the pavement, the manicured sidewalks, the escalators, whatever it is. You're on the real deal, the dirt. Just, I want my feet on the dirt with another person. And anyway, that's a great word picture for me for you. I can see that completely. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And this thing of rock cairns, you know, I talk about those. And I never paid attention. Well, I didn't know they existed until the first time I was on a trail. And you see a pile of them by the trail. Well, you know, God didn't put that there. Some human being piled those up. You can just tell by looking. And it doesn't take you long to realize they're marking the trail so I won't get lost. So somebody I'll never meet went to the trouble to pile those up so I won't get lost. And there's just a deep spiritual teaching in that, you know, that we pour our lives into things and people are going to benefit that we won't meet. And then that's kind of had an obligation. The guy says, you know, if you need to kind of add a rock to them sometimes, you know, to make sure they stay in place, we have an obligation to pass on to those behind us. Well, again, you know, it's just, and so suddenly this pile of rocks, you know, became this spiritual lesson about how we receive from those ahead of us and how we give back to those behind us. And now I take pictures of them all the time. And my phone is so full of pictures of stacks of rocks. And I came back from one trip, and I found a bunch of rocks, and I made a rock cairn in our front yard, much to my wife's.
She wasn't real happy about that.
Yeah.
She didn't quite see the meaning you did.
Yeah, so people know how to find our house. Oh, is that what the number on the curb is for? Yeah, well, I don't have this, you know. So I did put it right next to a bush, not like so it didn't look like my Ebenezer altar in the front and middle of the yard, you know. But so I kind of put it next to a bush, but it was just because it was important to me and I wanted to see it, you know. And so I don't really know exactly what to do with that beyond what I just said to you, but all of those about being on the trail and how we help each other up, you know, and then that whole idea about trail guides and how we guide each other. It seems to be a hands-on term. I've liked the term trail guide better than mentor, because trail guide seems to be very hands-on, feet in the dirt, let's go together and find out, kind of a term.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I want to be doing.
Yeah. Okay, so here's my last question for you. So what are you thinking about now? What are you curious about now? What are you writing about now?
I'm finishing up my next book, which really has a lot to do with journey groups and mentoring and guides and being on the trail. And it kind of had this book has taken me longer than the others. And I think probably because I'm getting closer to my heart. And so it's harder. It's like I'm putting more pressure on myself to try to do this right. Going forward, this idea, Cindy always tells me I need to write about something, but just this idea of restoring what was lost, because I use that phrase a lot. We need to restore what's been lost. You know, and I think you use that phrase a lot when we're talking about calling, because it's built into us, but we just have to uncover it and, you know, restore it and see what it is. And on top of all of that, I'm having, you know, you talked about my knees. I've just got arthritis in my knees, and I can't hardly run anymore. I can cycle. I can ride bikes. I can do a lot of that. I rode 17 miles a day. But I can't really backpack like I could, and it's killing me because, you know, my prayer is, God, if that's gone, what are you going to replace that with? However, in 2 weeks from today, I'm having a knee replacement on my right knee, and a month later, knee replacement on my left knee. And so that's kind of, you know, maybe that's part of my next story about restoring what was lost. Maybe that gets me back on the trail. I know a lot of guys in the group are ready for me to hit back, start dragging them back up the mountain. So I'm thinking about that a lot, partly because it's surgery and you can't not think about surgery. And then a friend of mine says, you know, they actually cut your leg off in the process. No, thanks for telling me that, you know, but I'm just looking forward to life on the other side. You know, it won't just hurt all the time. And what is that going to open up, and what will it mean? So that's really where I'm at right now.
Okay. All right. So let me ask you this as we finish up. Barry, you've come to, I don't know how many base camp gatherings that we have done. And for Secret Garden, so they know. So when we started Base Camp for Men, one of the things we wanted to say is, well, once online community is good, but face-to-face is better. And so what we want to do is offer at least once a year, and we thought we would eventually go to two or three times a year, we want to have a face-to-face time, and we just called it a gathering, and we've done several here. I think they've all been here in Colorado. Actually, we did one in Sam's house years ago. But anyway, so you've been to quite a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
Just for those listening who haven't gone, or for the fun of the memory of those who have gone, just describe the Base Camp gathering and why you keep coming back to it.
Well, you know, it's a great, we go to the Bear Trap Ranch, and it's fun. You're just buried in the mountains. And that's really kind of a cool thing, but you're buried with guys that have a similar vocabulary. They've been through various calling things that you've done. They've thought about their life in that aspect. We're not all in the same place. We're not all in the same ministries. We're not all in the same part of our journey, our spiritual walk, but yet you have that thing in common. And so as we kind of go through exercises and hear talks you hear guys share, and you really it's really insightful to see how life is working out for them, and you realize as you share stories from your own life that this is not a random crowd listening, but this is an educated crowd that's going to be able to give insight and feedback, real meaningful. And so I just really crave that. So much of what I do here, I end up being the leader in the group, and I love that. I'm glad God's put me in those positions, but it's fun to go to a thing where I'm not necessarily the leader, and guys will speak. You know, here's what I see in you, and here, and it's huge. And of course, now I've been two or three times, and so I have some great friends that I won't see any other time, but then, and so now how could you form lifelong friends just seeing them for a weekend a couple of times? Well, it turns out you can. When you share this heart level of curiosity and this journey, so I don't know if I'm signed up yet for the next time, but I'm planning on going. And, it's just become one of those things I'm going to do in the fall. And I need that. I need that input from guys. I need that fellowship from the guys.
Yeah. Well, I can assure you, you did sign up already. So you're
okay,
on
good.
The list.
All right. Okay,
you signed up way early. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
And so for those listening in the Secret Garden, and those who will listen later, I'd really like to see us do one for the Secret Garden at some point, have Lee do it. So we're going to look at that. Now, what's hard is Catherine, who's listening right now, is in Australia, and Lisa Stapp, who is also in Australia but not on at this point. I'm not sure how we're going to do that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're hoping for the Secret Garden to do that sometime. So, okay, so Barry, we're pretty much done, and I know you need to start getting ready to leave. So do you have any last thoughts, that you're thinking, gosh, if I hung up this phone, is there anything I wish I would have shared, a story told or a thought expressed before I got off? Anything?
Well, so much of my stories had to do with men, and I think you asked me once, do I see the same thing in Young Lumina? And I actually absolutely do. What we do in Journey Group is by no means limited to men at all. And if somebody wants to write to me and just get a more kind of a detailed outline of what I do, I would love to send that out, whether it's men or women, either one. And, you can just run with it. And you can put my email address on there or whatever, and I would love to connect with somebody if they want to take off with this, because it's a simple thing to do, but it's very deep.
Yeah. Okay, that's a great invitation. So everyone listening, if you're listening, you're probably in Basecamp or the Secret Garden, unless, until this comes out on the reorienting your heart, kind of the, mm-hmm. the best of campfire conversations, then others will be listening to it outside of Basecamp. So in Basecamp, again, it's Barry Simpson. You'll find him there. You can always just email him. Or you can email me, and I'll make sure it gets to him. So, Barry, that's a great offer. Hey, my friend, thank you. This was really fun. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Oh, well, I was just going to say, if you want to read writing, you can find me at barrysimpson.com. I might as well make a pitch there. It's just
no, perfect.
B-E-R-R-Y. Yeah, barrysimpson.com.
Okay. Yeah. So there will be your books will be listed, your blogs will be there, and I know
all
on
that,
Amazon
all
your books are there. So
yeah,
as well. So
great, thanks.
Hey, thank you. This was a lot of fun doing this with you.
Super.
Yep.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yep. So, hey, everyone, thanks for joining us. This was a lot of fun tonight, and hopefully we will see you next week. Good night.
Good night.